What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Beacon League podcast. We just wrapped up week six, heading into week seven. We got another good show for you guys. A lot more competition, a lot more turmoil happening after the results of week six. And this week we have a special guest in the building, Tyler Little, the number one team in the league. So let's get right into it. First of all, the regulars, Jordan and Sid, how y'all doing?
Fantastic, baby.
Scoochie, baby.
Chilling, bro, chilling. And then the man, the myth, the legend, Tyler Little. How you doing, bro?
Yo, what's going on, y'all? Happy to be on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for taking the time out of your night to hop on the podcast with us. We'll jump right into it, man. You've been the number one team in the league for basically the whole entire season. And you are coming off of week six with 169 points. To cap off, I believe this is your third alpha of the year, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong on that. We'll go back and check. But you've been killing it, bro. So before, obviously this isn't playoff time or anything, but really good start to the season, bro. This is pretty impressive. We'll just go into a couple quick questions for you. This is your first time on the podcast this year. What was your approach heading into the draft process and at the draft? What was your did you have any particular plan, or did you just let the board fall to you?
No, I definitely had a plan this year. I think I kind of let the draft get away from me a little bit last year, so I had definitely more of a solid strategy going in this year, and like knowing that we were doing the super flex this year, I had some time to prepare for that. So I definitely wanted to go like wide receiver heavy the first couple of rounds.
Yep.
Like, you know, being PPR and being super flex. So that's, you know, that's what I did. I was really hoping to get Jamar first pick, but the way the season's turned out, I'm kind of happy I didn't, just with like Cincinnati not looking as hot as they usually do.
Right.
So yeah, just wide receiver heavy, and then I was hoping to just get whoever the best quarterback was on the board in the fourth round, and just so I didn't have to like scramble later, because I thought more people were going to pick more quarterbacks earlier.
Right.
And all the top guys were gone. So yeah, just wide receiver heavy, and then like after the first three rounds, like just picking who was there, like I thought I had confidence in for the rest of the season.
Right. Right. And you, you've proven to have a pretty good draft. You've done some trades here and there, but most of your success is based off of who you drafted. So that's pretty impressive. What do you think? We know in the past you have gotten the Baldy Award. You know, you have been number one in the league and got knocked out in the first round, missed the playoffs a couple seasons. What do you think changed for you as a manager from last season in particular to going into season seven?
I honestly, like, I stole, like, draft strategy wise, kind of like just stole some tips and stuff from you guys, like seeing how you guys, like in particular Jordan, like I feel like I kind of mirrored Jordan's strategy from last season as far as like my draft goes. And then like, just kind of moving away from like the running back position, just which is like, I feel like hard for me personally, because that's how I always like go into the draft, is like going RB heavy.
Yeah.
And then like having those guys to like plug into the roster or like trade for more players as the rest of the season goes on. But I feel like fantasy and like, you know, the NFL in general is kind of just trending away from that. Like, and there was guys in this year just like later round value at the running back position that, I mean, I've gotten pretty lucky. And like you said already, like I've gotten the Baldy before. I've got like first rounded before. So I'm like, I'm hoping I can like make a deep push this year. But I feel like Sid already jinxed me. Like he's ragging me for T. Higgins. Like he's dragging me OD. And I feel like that's probably going to come back to haunt me at some point. But yeah, no, definitely. I think just like drafting wide receivers in particular, but also like just like target guys, like guys that get a lot of volume. Like that was a big part of my strategy too. Like
yeah,
going for guys that get a lot of looks throughout the course of the game, throughout the course of the season.
Yeah, and it's yeah, and it's definitely working. I agree. Jordan was, I must say, was a little, I don't want to say early on the punt the running backs, but for the last like two seasons, Jordan's like full on punted.
Yeah, everybody else them.
Is trying to still like, because it is weird, bro. Like we've been playing fantasy for a while now, and even like. Not old head fantasy players, but that's just the thing is like you start. There was a point in time where the first 12 picks were running backs. Like it didn't matter. You might get a receiver in the first round, maybe one like a Randy Moss or a T.O. back in the day. Like, yeah, you can start with that. But for the most part, it was just running backs. Now the game is changing so much that like you kind of just receivers are much safer injury wise, like especially if we're playing PPR. And I started to do that as well. And then I got kind of thrown off because I would get solid running backs. And they would be like last year, for example, I had Breece Hall and Kenneth Walker at one point, and they both got hurt. So it's like I'm almost back on the train. Like, nah, see, you got see running backs. Yeah, no. This is not even especially this year, bro. It's worse than the tight end position. It's the same. So, then yeah, if you guys have anything to add, Jordan and Sid, anything to add to Tyler's success so far, like how are you guys feeling about his management of his team this year?
Yeah, I voiced my opinion on Ty's team, even though he's my comp, and I hate him because of it. I do admit that I love the build of his roster because it's a build that I believe in. So I definitely think Ty's on the right track. It's just time to see if he's going to be like the Cowboys in the playoffs or is he going to be like the Eagles? You know what I mean?
You can relax, bro. Like,
it's not that... Shots fired.
Dang, catching strays. Sid, how you feel about Tyler's team so far through 6 weeks?
It's not only is it like top heavy, but it's like bottom heavy too. Like somehow he was able to get like amazing wide receivers, but his running back room is still top five in the league, which is like crazy. I know he did a lot of work on the not just in the draft, but just the waiver wires. Like Kyren has been a gem. Laporta may end up being like a top five tight end. So like his roster is just even from top to bottom.
Laporta was. That's money right there.
I can't believe he's been as good as he's been. Like I definitely got fortunate. Like that's why I'm saying I'm like worried about how the rest of the season's gonna look out because I know that I got, you know, pretty lucky with some of these dudes. Like Raheem, I just drafted him because he was there. I mean, he's RB2. Like
that's the crazy one for me, bro.
It's
like
insane.
That one's insane.
And I knew like we all know Hockenson is a good player. Like you know, obviously he's with Minnesota, but like. I didn't think Laporta would like fit in Detroit and like ball out like he is. Like,
nah.
So yeah, we'll see how it goes. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Richardson being out for the rest of the season is like a big bummer for me just because like I like him a lot as a player and
just yeah that's down for dude, the that was going to be
disappointing.
I felt for you because I remember the week before me and Ty were working on a trade. For CJ
I literally texted it to you.
Ty literally said he's like, I'm a little apprehensive to move him because I'm just I got this irrational fear that I'm gonna lose one of my quarterbacks. And I'm sitting like, man, it ain't gonna happen. Don't worry, bro. You're straight. 1 week later.
Dang.
Down goes AR.
Fantasy football, baby.
I was just about to ask you, Ty, like what not obviously you don't have to spill anything you got working in the background as a GM, but do you have a long-term plan for that other super flex spot immediately, or are you just gonna roll with it for now to replace Richardson's production?
Yeah, I feel like me and Jordan talked about something that didn't end up falling through, like me and you were talking, which I feel like now you can't even like with Fields being hurt.
Yeah, it's just and, knock each other out.
Yeah, bro, I don't know, honestly, because I don't think, I feel like, even if we weren't in a super flex, like, I mean, obviously it means more because we are, but like QBs have been weird this year, like from a fantasy perspective, like the top guys besides like Josh Allen, I think he's kind of been like immune to the whole way that the QBs have been playing this year. But like the week six was rough. Week six was brutal.
Yeah, it was bad.
Just player performance and injuries. Like, I really don't know what I'm going to do because like Minshew looked terrible. But like they have JT back, so but he also didn't look good. Like Zach Moss is like looking like he took over the Colts backfield. So it's like, I don't know if Minshew can be like enough of a game manager. I mean Mac Jones has been playing really bad. I did like try to do like a, you know, crystal ball and like grab Malik Cunningham. I don't know if that's gonna turn into anything. It probably won't. But yeah, I think I do want to make a trade, but I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know if anybody's going to want to trade anyone to me. So
it is tough. Yeah, it is tough trying to improve your team being the number one team. That's always a tough position to trade from.
Ty, I got a question for you. So this isn't your first time at the top, but I feel like this is might be your first time at the top and looking this dominant. Do you feel like there is a different pressure being at the top? And do you feel as if your league mates, us, were, you know, operate differently as far as trade talks and stuff like that because of your dominant success that you're having?
That's a good question. I think, yes. I think when it comes to trade talks, definitely. As far as, like you guys would look at my roster and be like, oh, like I'm not gonna give you this guy because you have like X, Y, and Z, and I'm like, okay, I get it, but like that shouldn't really affect our trade. Like I still want to trade with you guys, like obviously, you know, to fill a need for like my team or your team. But no, like our league is super competitive. It's super fun. It's super competitive. Some people are like more willing to trade than others. Like, but it's always been that way, which is part of fantasy. As Sid's been trying to beat into my brain this season, that trading is an integral part of fantasy. But yeah, some people are easier to trade with, and some people aren't. Like, some people don't want to trade at all. So
I think it
definitely goes both ways. Like, if you have valuable players that people want, they're going to target those guys. And then if you want somebody who's just kind of like a backup or like a, you know, just like a bench stash, those are harder to get from people that already have them, because there's so many guys in our league that are already rostered. Like the waiver is like
slim picking,
bone dry. It's bone dry, bro. Like I was looking at it today just to like see all the transactions that were made and stuff like that. And it's like, bro, everybody's on a bench. Like everyone's stashed. It's gonna be tough.
Yeah, like the top available player right now for projections for week seven is Tutu Atwell, bro. Like, that'll tell you right there. Yeah. That's the top of the... I see Sky Moore on it. Like, there's just, like, people just drop just dead bodies on the waivers right now. Or not even on the waivers, just available. It's just saying it's a ghost town. but yeah, bro, so you got Alpha of the Week. Again, 169.70 points. You took down Mike Kyles, so you remain number one team at 5-1. And Mike drops to 3-3, and he is number six in the rankings right now. Mike Kyles' team had Debo get him 1 point. I understand he got injured in that game as well, so not a good day for Mike Kyles, but he'll look to bounce back in week seven. The Pancake Watch of the Week goes to none other than myself. 103 points.
Wow.
Yeah. Complete disappointment. I'm in shambles right now, but fellas, I ain't gonna front. this is rough. But you know, it's still, I've been saying this, it's still early for the past 3 weeks, but you know, big blow losing Justin Fields.
What is his injury, Drew? Is it
he dislocated his thumb?
Okay.
So they popped it back in. Yeah, on his throwing hand. They popped it back in, but he can't grip the football.
And they didn't save just any They didn't say if there's any ligament damage, right?
No, it's negative. It's negative. It's just a matter of like letting it. Yeah. So he'll be back. It's just my schedule. Like, I can't really afford to lose because I'm playing you this week, Ty. So it's really not a great time to have Justin Fields. So I was telling these guys earlier, I potentially go 2-5, and I don't know. That's rough for the rest
of the rest of the
season, bro. That's the uphill battle to get into a playoff spot at 2-5. Hopefully everybody below me loses, and including Jonesy, and then I could just keep float around that 6-7-8 spot. But you know, we never know. So I get my first pancake watch of the season, and you know, I'm slightly encouraged because it's just injury. It's not anything I'm doing as a GM that's really messing anything up. I don't think. I mean, y'all could tell me, be honest with me, but that's part of the game, just injuries. 2 years in a row, bro. I just get some random
facts.
Heavy hitters get knocked out of off of
you
my
know
team.
What you know what you gotta do? You gotta change your name now. You gotta do something injury related.
Yeah, facts.
It gives you good juju. You're right. It gives you good juju to get some good health.
Yeah. You know, because that's what I did last year, and I ended up making the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That's true. I got to get
injury
off
report, the infirmary.
That's true. Those were good, pretty good names until you got back to the Shadow Realm.
You back.
All right. So
I'm a little upset that Jordan's back, to be honest, because he's back in a big way. That boy,
yeah, he's back.
Looking menacing.
He's scoring like crazy. Yeah. So. Let me just go back to my matchup. Oh yeah, Sid took me out this week. So Sid improves to 4-2, a number 4 in the league. I dropped to 2-4. I'm at the 8 spot. And speaking of Jordan's squad, let's just go to that game. 166 for Jordan this week. That is good for second in the league in scoring for week 6. And he took out Mark Axelon's team. Now we all voted on the last show, this was not going to be a fun game, and that he had to do something about his quarterback position.
Yeah.
And what did he do at his quarterback position? Absolutely nothing. 6.90 for Mac Jones and 2.04 points for a quarterback, Ryan Tannehill.
My boy didn't even get 9 points between two quarterbacks.
Quarterback. They have the ball every play.
Zach Wilson outscored both of them.
That's insane.
And he only got 10. That's crazy.
Oh my goodness. But that's a good example of how weird the quarterback position has been this year.
He completely. All right. So if y'all were Mark, this is just a quick part of the recap of week 6. If you guys were Mark Axelon, I know we said last week he should trade one of these running backs he got, either Eckler or probably Eckler or Swift. None of us would have done double RB to start the draft. Am I correct on that?
Nope.
Okay.
That's the exact opposite of what I want to do.
this is the result. This is what you get for using that strategy.
Listen,
especially
Mark,
sniping Endley like that. That's karma.
Came back crazy. In a big way.
Exactly.
Listen, she's screaming at this dude right now.
Mark, if you listen to this, I need a running back. Kyler's healthy. Come talk to me. All right.
Exactly.
It's time. Hey.
That's actually a good.
It's time.
That is a good. Yeah. That is. I
might have to hit you up for that, boy. Honestly, because this looking scary.
You know what, Ty? Yeah. This is completely off topic, but. I wouldn't even mind making that happen because week 10, I play you again. I literally have 4 players. Everyone else is on a bye.
All your guys on bye?
Yeah. So I don't have the Eagles are on a bye. The Eagles are on a bye. The Miami is on a bye. And I have no Kelsey. So I'm just going to chalk that one up and it's okay.
Miami's on a bye week 10?
Yeah. Miami.
You might be okay because that means no Hill and Mostert for Ty.
Yeah, that means I have no Tua and no Waddle.
Oh, shoot, Waddle. Yeah.
And I have no Kelsey, and I have no Jalen, and no AJ.
Oof. Dang, Chiefs, Eagles, and Miami all off on week 10?
Yes.
Dang. everybody's gonna lose every one of the matchups.
So originally I was holding on to Kyler to help me out with that week 10 bye, but I'm so far gone it won't mean anything. So that week's an L.
Did the Cardinals have their bye already?
Week 14.
Oh wow, yeah, they're super late. Jeez.
They're right before the playoffs. Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So hopefully nobody's banking on a Cardinal to get in.
Yeah, right.
Myself included in that.
Mark's team is doing surprisingly well though. Like yeah. I feel like all things considered. Yeah, Axel. Yeah,
I know. I know.
He's two quarterbacks away. Been carrying.
Him and yeah, he's I know his team's.
I shouldn't even say surprisingly because like I think it was just against the way like we would have typically drafted.
Mm. Yeah,
but I mean, his guys are balling. They're balling out for him. So
yeah, I mean, like right off the rip off the draft, I was like, I'm not crazy about the team.
Yeah,
because like yeah, Eckler and McCaffrey, but then like DJ Moore and McLaurin as his top two wide receivers, I was like, meh. You know, like, it just doesn't look, it just seems very double wide receiver two-ish type of play. But DJ has been going off the past couple weeks. Not a great week last week, but his team, yeah, like, Zay Flowers starting to pop off. His team's solid. He has to fix the QB spot or he's not going to, this ain't going to go well. I believe after this matchup, Mark is now, yeah, he's in 11th place. So this is probably the best 11th place team I've ever seen. I don't know about that. His QBs really drop his drop his outlook, but yeah, it's yeah, he better pray Kendall loses again, because it's yeah, we'll get into week 7. But yeah, Jordan won his matchup there, beating Mark Axelon. Jordan sits at 2. Kango versus Kendall. That was battle of last place, and Kango put up the third most points in the league in week 6, 146.38, and beating Kendall, giving him a 30 piece and improving to 2-4 and is now number 9 in the league. And Kendall stays down in the corner of the Waffle House at number 12 with a 1-5 record, but still scored more than I did this week, so... You know, hopefully things look up for week 7. We'll check those matchups in a few minutes. And then Perry gets the win over Mark Onofrio. So Mark O drops to 4-2 and at number 5 in the league. And Perry improves to 3-3 and is now number 7 in the league with a, wouldn't say a squeak by victory, but a 9-point win for him. 11-point win for him, and gets the job done. And then Chris Pimentel is sitting at number 3. His team still looks like one of them ones. Puts up 139 to beat Enley, and Enley drops to the 10th spot and is now 2-4. So some pretty standing shifting matchups we had in week 6. And we'll move on to week 7 and talk about these matchups and the implications for those. We kind of already went over this first matchup I'm looking up here, but between me and Ty. Sid, I'm going to let you take the floor on this one. How do you see this matchup going?
Oh, man. The Jettas injury definitely hurt you, but I do like that you got KJ. To cancel out at least some of Kirk Cousins, what he's going to do. The matchup, honestly, it looks pretty even. It's just, it really just comes down to what can Philly do with Tyreek Hill. I don't think they're going to have Slay. Tyreek is good. I think his line is probably like 130 yards a game. So I don't know. I guess like maybe if you can keep Tyreek to 120 yards and one tutty, maybe.
That's crazy.
That man is a cheat code.
That's insane.
He's such a cheat code, dude. I can't believe. He's holding to a
touchdown of 120 yards.
I'll tell you this much. Puka will have 200 yards versus Steelers. So that you can look forward to. Now I have to watch that. This is even, man. But I gotta go with Tyler till the wheels fall off, man. Like,
yeah.
I need y'all to stop now. Like, I'm on the podcast right now.
McGarner to say, is.
No, hold on. I'm here to say I appreciate the love y'all been showing me, but I need to stop now. I need to stop so I can at least make it to, like, the semifinals, at the least. Because if I get first rounded again after going, like.
Now you get a bye, my boy, right?
Yeah.
But just if you lose this first matchup, I know what you mean. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's fantasy, bro. Anything's possible, like Kevin Garnett said.
I'll never forget, bro. the fact that I got first rounded when I had, like, I'll never get them again. That's why this made me mad. I had Jonathan Taylor and Cooper Kupp.
Jeez.
Like, and this was prime. This was prime. Like, that's when JT was like the rushing leader, and Cooper Kupp got the triple crown. Like, and I got first rounded because I started Matthew Stafford, and he got me like 9 points. I had the Kupp Stafford stack, and I lost because of it. After it carried me,
that's the whole tragic. Time.
It's like, and Joe Burrow had like 50 points on my bench.
Yeah, you could tell that dude scarred my boy because he remembers all the point totals explicitly.
Oh yeah,
literally, bro. Literally, that's why I'm so nervous this season. I'm like, I want to get a rough patch now, like, so I could just skirt in at like 4 or 5. I don't want to be number one.
It is, it does hold a little bit extra.
It is very stressful being number one.
Yeah, when you're one, I'm not a huge fan of being number one either. Because, like, inherently, everybody's gunning for you. Like, it's just, like, okay, everybody wants to be the one spot until you're the one.
Yeah.
So, it's, it holds a lot of weight. Jordan, how do you see this matchup going? Who you got?
I do think this is going to be a little bit of an even matchup. I do think I'm still going to ride with Ty. And my tiebreaker is going to be the running back play. I think Ty is going to get some good running back play, because even though Philly has really good rush defense right now, they haven't played a Raheem Mostert, who they every time they touch the ball, they're chunking for 10 to 15 yards. And that's one area where Philly struggles, is if you can get past their second line, they have nothing back there. So I do see Raheem breaking one or two big ones, and I think that would be the difference maker.
I am going to vote for myself. I can't not. Yeah, I can't not. If you ask me to put a percentage on how confident I am, it wouldn't be a high one, but I'm not one to not believe in my team. We still got a couple days of practice, so I'm going to sit with them on Saturday night and just, take them to dinner and make sure they're ready for Sunday.
Yeah, you need to get in there. You need to get in there and give them that speech that Prime gave the boys after that comeback loss.
Yeah, exactly. Y'all seem like you don't want it.
We and that just, junk will be practicing tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, I got to hit up Derek Carr right now because he played tomorrow night. Okay. So, yeah, exactly. Derek Carr is my starting quarterback. I'm gonna take myself in this one. And see if I can take down the king. If I do that, I might start talking a little bit, because then I'll feel much more confident at 3 and 4 than at 2 and 5. And then I'll be like, as we're talking about Prime quotes, like he said after they lost to Oregon, you better get me now, because if you don't get me now, we coming. Like that's all
we coming.
So hopefully I can pull this one off and improve to 3 and 4 and see if I can squeak back into that playoff contention.
I would appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm sure y'all would. So Ty, you got to pick yourself, bro. You got to pick your team to win.
I mean, I'm gonna say yeah, but because I just said that, I'm gonna lose. So, I mean, I'm probably due for a week. Like, I wasn't surprised when your evil twin beat me. When Chris took me out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wasn't surprised. He has a like, our it's funny because our rosters are like the opposite of each other. Like, my guys are like being fed by his guys, as you know, as far as like QB wide receiver or like running back wide receiver, like our rosters are kind of similar in that way.
Right.
So like I'm looking at your roster right now and I'm like, I mean, I don't want anybody to get hurt, but I'm like, it sucks that the injuries happened the way they did.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I think it'll be close. I think it'll be closer than like what we're expecting it to be. If you just look at the two rosters on paper, like, yeah. I mean, Puka, I think Puka's due for a bounce back. I'm looking at your roster right now. That's why I'm kind of like, I'm thinking about it. Due for a bounce back game. I mean, Keenan Allen has been insane this season. Like, yep. More so than we're used to having him for, like, I don't know, week 7. I feel like he usually has a blown out hammy by now.
But, yeah, like, for real. I'm just waiting on him.
He's balling. Like,
the way my team been going, he's about to destroy me.
I feel like Derek Carr needs to, like, bounce back. Like, the Saints look kind of weird. But Jacksonville looks weird, too. Like, like I said, it's been a weird season for teams that we thought were going to be top contenders or, like, have more prolific offenses. They've been kind of stuttering a little bit.
Yep.
So I think it'll be close.
We'll see, bro. We'll see. I'm gonna pick Puma. If we don't pull this off, there will be a name change happening. it'll be a Beacon League page announcement, and we'll figure it out from there. moving on to the second matchup, we got Jordan versus Mark Onofrio. The fall from grace, as we would call it. This is like two teams going in completely opposite directions from the first 2-3 weeks of the season. Just real quick before we get into, I'll just say just one thing. I just found it funny as I was looking through the teams. Mark Onofrio this week has Joe Burrow and Bryce Young out on bye. This dude might have to start PJ Walker and Deshaun Watson in his two quarterback spots.
Guess which one's not playing?
It's crazy.
This was one not at practice today. I'll let y'all guess.
Right. Probably massage.
It's not looking good for homeboy.
What happened to Deshaun? What is his deal?
He's Pratt. He's scared.
Oh, don't get it started, football. Please.
Yeah, sorry. I forgot. I forgot we're on here with the Steelers.
He's supposed to, he hasn't had one in a while.
He fears football.
You know what I mean?
He said he has. He do for one?
Yeah, he do. He overdo, bro.
That's crazy.
He a little tense.
Bro.
His shoulder a little tense.
Nah, that's wild, bro.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, yeah, he might have to start both Cleveland quarterbacks. You know, just you never know. Deshaun might pop out and then, you know,
G's in the hospital.
And then pop back in, and then PJ Walker takes over, and they each get him 10 points. You never know. But yeah, this matchup is granted Mark hasn't made any moves at both of his quarterback spots, so the projections are way off right now. But I don't really think it's gonna make that much difference. I'm gonna pick Jordan pretty comfortably in this matchup. And that drops Mark over 4-3. And I think his trajectory is just trending down pretty fast. This should be a pretty easy win for Jordan. I'll kick it to you, Sid. Who you got in this matchup?
Picking the one who doesn't have Deshaun Watson on the roster.
Fair enough. Ty, who you got in this matchup?
I'm going to give Jordan the edge in this one.
Yeah, this is a pretty easy. Jordan, who you got? I couldn't only imagine who you're picking this one.
Listen, man, I'm trying to remain humble, all right? Because when I'm not humble, bad things happen to me. I don't think that boy got a single dog in the fight. You know, it was crazy.
Not a dog, not a brown.
We were talking about, I was like, yo, this boy, Mark, talk about a fall from grace. He's got to go through the gauntlet these next 3 weeks. So he's got me this week while having no quarterbacks. He's going to have Sid next week, who Sid's been on fire. And then he's got Ty the week after that. That boy is he's in the mixer right now.
You got to see AJ Brown, Diggs, and Tyreek.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yikes.
That's cool. Oh, no. Hey. Yeah, that don't sound
but you know what? Enjoy. But you know what? Nothing makes me happier than having Jalen Hurts, who could have been his, go against him. While Burrow got to sit on the bench.
Did you offer him Jalen in a trade?
No, or he was the third overall.
Oh, that's right.
It just feels like third overall should have picked Jalen, but
I'll give it to him. He did hold strong and said, I don't want no black quarterback on my team.
Now he has the worst two in the building.
I asked him before the draft. I said, "Yo, I'm thinking about taking Lamar. What do you like? Just be honest with me. Is that who you thinking about Lamar?" He's like, "No, I hate him." I said, "Okay."
That's crazy.
There's no other explanation of hating Lamar Jackson other than the aforementioned. So I said,
"Max,
okay.
I don't even hate him that much."
I was gonna say Jordan has a pretty strong disdain for Lamar.
Yeah, Margo comfortably denied.
But my disdain is at least fantasy football related.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know about Marks. He's gonna have to come on next week and defend himself because we're just taking shots and he can't say nothing. So we'll get his opinion, Mark. Don't worry. We're here for you. We'll let you speak. So let you speak your truth. All right. So that one's pretty much decided. Next matchup we have is my treacherous little twin, Chris Pimentel, taking on Jonesy. Jordan, I'll let you start with this one, and I'll just say this real quick. Chris's team, I don't know about this week, but Chris's team is kind of on fire of late. Mm-hmm. And Kendall's team has been, for the majority of the season, floating around the bottom, you know, fork, knife, and napkin in hand, ready for them pancakes. How do you feel about this matchup? As it's Wednesday as we're recording this, how do you feel about this matchup for Sunday?
So I'm going to side with my boy Jonesy. He's due. He needs it a lot more than Drew number two does. And I think he might be catching Pumbaa on a great week. It's Pumbaa's by Mageddon currently. And so he's got a lot of guys in that lineup that, you know, normally are going to be riding somebody's bench. Now, that's not to say that Chris can't perform. I don't think it's going to be a blowout by any means. But I think if there's ever a week for Jonesy to get back on track, I think this is it.
Tyler, how you feel about this matchup?
Yeah, I agree with Jordan. Kendall's had a very unlucky season. I think as far as like outcome goes, as like getting wins, like I think his team has kind of let him down. So he kind of shuffled the roster a bit. But yeah, I'm looking at both their teams now. Chris has got some key guys out. And I think Kendall has enough guys on his team that he can plug in to help him get the win this week. I agree with Jordan. He's due for one.
Yeah,
and I don't want to see my boy eating no pancakes.
Exactly. Now I'm gonna pick Kendall's team as well, and I really don't want to because if I lose and he wins, I now float around the area of pancakes. And this, I ain't been in this situation. Well, I'm not speaking into existence, but I haven't been around that realm of the league since season two. So I'm kind of scared. Like, I kind of, unfortunately, Kendall, I love you, but I do need you to lose again. I can't have you win and me lose. That's not going to be good. So, but yeah, it does right now off the rip look like Kendall is poised to have a big game. Now Herbert could go off in this game against Kansas City. Looks like they could have a shootout. But he didn't go absolutely insane against Dallas, and Kansas City secondary is disgusting. So I'm not banking on him going for more than what he's projected to get, but you never know between those two teams. This is a division game. It's at Kansas City. Like it could turn into a shootout. Even if Kansas City's up, Herbert could get a whole bunch of garbage time points, I should say. So we never know, but I do think Kendall takes this one. Sid, who you got in this matchup?
For foe, man. Outside of the buys, like Herbert versus KC, I don't like. It's at KC. That defense is top five in my opinion. ETN's going against a top run defense, and Pittman is going. He might as well not even strap up the cleats in the lane. So I think Chris needed those three to kind of carry him this week, and they have some horrible matchups, and I think Olave and Devonta Smith, I think they're going to do what needs to be done for Kendall to win this one.
I feel like if Chris loses this, like, it's going to be funny because he would lose to the, you know, in the rankings, the worst team in the league. He should change his name to Poom C. Just because he dropped it. Like, like you got to keep changing
his
the letter.
His grade is dropping.
Every loss, you got to change the last letter. but yeah, that'd be a really big win for Jonesy, and it would just add to the competitiveness of the league. Like, that there'd be like three separate divisions of like the top four teams, the teams in the middle that are trying to fight for the last spot, and then the bottom four teams that are trying to make sure they don't eat pancakes. So if he wins this, it's going to be pandemonium in this league, and it's already competitive. So this should be fun. Next matchup we got, oh, this is a good one. Sid versus Mike Kyles. Oh, I yeah, like this might this is my favorite one of the week.
I like that a lot.
This goes beyond the rosters on the app, bro. Like, this is a good one. Because if anybody that's listening that's not part of the league and you just listening as a fan of Beacon League, the chat goes crazy between Sid and Mike. You guys are pretty I mean, Mike got something to say with everybody, but this one's a good one. I'll go first, and I will say, oh, dang, this is close. I'll go with Sid in this matchup. There's a whole bunch of Josh Allen questionable. Roshan, they're gonna. It's Wednesday. You get all the questionables on Wednesday. I'm gonna go with Sid. I just like his roster overall better. And Jonathan Taylor for Mike going up against Cleveland's defense. Like, they haven't even given him the keys to the backfield yet, so I know nothing's going to happen against Cleveland's run deep. Like, they might be the best defense in the league right now, so I'm all set with the JT thing. Like, I don't think he's going to have a good day. Or Elijah Moore, because he basically has no quarterback. So I'll pick Sid in this matchup. Ty, I'll go to you next. Who you got, Mike or Sid?
This is a tough matchup. This is the most even one, I think, of the week.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, this is hard, bro.
Yeah. Sid has been such a jerk to me lately. I think I gotta pick Mike.
Hey, all
but the, Mike kind of like had my back and then like faked me out at the same time the other day in the chat. So I don't know. I think the game actually boils down to, though, like the matchup. I think it boils down to Deebo being healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sid's team is. Sid did what Sid does and traded into an amazing team. but I don't. I don't know. I think Mike's gonna get it. I don't like Deontay Johnson, but I know Sid loves him. I think, but like I said, yeah, I think Deebo is kind of like the X factor for Mike's team. Because if he can be healthy, I think their teams are really even and he can kind of like push Mike's team over the edge. But it's going to be a close one.
It is. It really is. Jordan, who you got? We'll go to Sid last for his own team.
Yeah, this is a very close matchup. And being that it's a close matchup, I got to give it to the guy that has less doubt, which I think is Sid. So I think Sid's team has less it has less ranges of bad things happening. Not only am I unsure about Deebo for Mike, I'm also not too fond of some of his matchups. I don't like JT in Cleveland. Where was the other one I was looking at? I don't like James Cook in New England. And Saquon in Washington. Those rivalry games, you know, they can go either way. And, you know, and Saquon didn't look 100% like himself yet last week. So with that being said, do I think there's a world where Mike wins? Yeah, 100%. But I do think that Sid has a little bit more surety in his lineup. So I'm going to give Sid the dub.
Sid, what team are you picking to win this? You or Mike, and why did you pick your team?
Oh, man, my troll brother Mike, man, bro, the most professional trolls in the league. I mean, I think it really boils down to tomorrow night, man. I need Trevor Lawrence to not only play, but play well. I think that's pretty much it. I'm confident that I could. I actually just played Micah a few weeks ago. I gave past him, so he knows, like, he better not let me win two in a row. In a row, man, because the chat is about to be on fire. But yeah, picking me.
Yeah, that would not go well for old Mikey over there. So, you know, that's probably matchup of the week. If I had to get, yeah, I'm looking at the right. Yeah, that's game of the week right there. However, we do have the last two matchups are also pretty good. We got Perry versus Mark Axelon. Sid, I'll let you start off with this one. Who do you have? 3-3 for Perry and 2-4 for Mark Axelon. Doesn't look like he has any opportunity to change his QB spot because Tannehill and Wilson are out.
That's insane. On bye.
So yeah.
Oh my lord.
So who do you got in this matchup?
Brocktober. Brocktober, and I'm going with the guy with, you know, the sun god and two healthy quarterbacks. I mean, honestly, I think I can go get a point in fantasy over Mac Jones. Mac Jones didn't give my man a point 2 weeks. Like, it's time to let this man go, bro. Just destroy your roster of the quarterbacks. Take Mac, pick Tannehill. I mean, the best thing that ever happened is Tannehill going out for him, honestly. Yeah. Like, he was doing you. Your fevers starting him up every week, bro.
But then you would think that he would hit the waivers and go get Malik, and he doesn't.
Or send trade requests.
Because he has an Android. I don't know if they allow him.
He can't see nothing. That's crazy. Yeah, they show up in green. I mean, they show up in the opposite color, like they blue. Like, oh, somebody owns him already. Never mind. That's what happens for Mark. That's what happens for Mark. Okay, so you picking Perry in this matchup. Okay. I'm also gonna go with Perry in this one. What's funny is, just like a sidebar for like a player right now, Bijan has not been past couple weeks. It's like kind of disappointing for fantasy, like 11 points in week 5, 13 in week 6 for where he was drafted at, like for the running back position, like. That's fine. And the Falcons have been throwing it much, much more. So they've been in games, and Arthur Smith's starting to open up that offense. That would be really my only bad side to this thing, is if, like, Bijan got to kind of wake up on Perry's team. But other than that, Perry's got has a pretty solid team. I love Josh Downs. I asked for him a couple weeks ago, and he said, nah, he's going to hold. Amon-Ra, like, that's a good trade piece he got. I like his team. It's really not even about Perry's team, though, at this, and like this week. I don't know how the projections are this close, but there's no way Mac Jones is getting 12.76 against Buffalo. Like, there's no he's gonna have to go to a meeting or something to get them numbers and pray, because that's not gonna happen. Jordan, who do you have in this matchup, Perry or Mark Axelon?
Yeah, also going to go with Perry. Somehow, some way, Mark's QB situation has actually gotten worse since last week. So, unfortunately, I'm going to have to side with my boy, who has two healthy quarterbacks and also has some good skill players to go along with it. I don't think it's going to be a complete wash, because Mark's skill players are good. Like, you know, Eckler should be closer to health this week. CMC is a question mark, but I'm hearing some things that he might actually play Monday night.
Yeah, same.
So I do think that Mark has the skill players to get it done. He needs some contribution from his quarterbacks.
Ty, who you got in this matchup, Perry or Mark?
I'm going to go with Perry. Just because of, like, what you guys were saying, the whole QB thing. But I do, I guess, kind of have, like, a question. Or maybe just, like, a... Because I think we're at the point in the season with injuries and, like, teams just... offenses kind of looking weird. If just I guess, devil's advocate. If Mark starts, you know, someone else in the Superflex, I'm looking at his roster. I think his best bet is probably Romeo Doubs. Do you guys see this game being like any closer?
No. For me personally, I'm taking into account the fact that he has to put one of those guys in.
He's probably going
to
do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because even if he did that right now, that does projection wise put him over Perry for total points.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't. I feel like some of the projections on Mark's team are not as accurate as like.
But you know what? if he puts Romeo Doubs in the Superflex, that might be the most amount of points he's gotten from a quarterback position in weeks.
Yeah.
Doubs might go off on Denver.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Like, I mean, he's been good this season.
Maybe,
as long as PS2 isn't covering Romeo Doubs, then he might have himself a little game.
Yeah, he's probably going to be on Watson.
Yeah, he's probably going to be on Watson, yeah. But okay. All right. So there's a world.
He's a fighting chance.
I love how he's rostering Jalen Hyatt right now, who's projected 1.81 points. That's crazy. Mark,
let it go.
You got your day off is tomorrow, bro. Go on, open the app, and go look at the list that has the green plus logo next to it, and add somebody that's not projected to get 1.81 points.
Just do something.
Just try. Yeah, do so. It's like that meme with the stick when the other team's losing. Saying, like, yo, do something.
You know what, man?
Like, Mark, come on.
Nah, bro. I didn't even want to help him out because apparently I was wilding for his grade. But
we're all wilding, actually. The three of egos. That's what he said.
We were wilding, but you sitting here on autopilot letting two bums be a quarterback.
Ryan Tannehill, that's crazy. All right, so we all got Perry in this one. All right, last matchup for heading into week 7, Achilles tendon, Kango taking on Team Suck My A-Rod. He still kept the team name. That's, you know, and that's kudos to you, bro, with the Zion Williamson face on his logo. That's just, he's holding strong. I'll shoot first on this one. I'm gonna go with Kango in this matchup. For similar reasons that we had with Mark Axelon's team, like, I don't know. I just feel like Enly leaves a lot of points on the bench all the time. And he does have his Jets. His Jets are on bye this week. Like, I get it. But I don't know. Like, he didn't start Kittle. It's just a lot. It ain't even about this week. Like, I just don't trust Enly with his lineup. With his lineup weekly, like, it just scares me. So I'm gonna go with Kango's team. As we talked about, Jordan, I think, mentioned it first. Like, Kango's team is actually solid. Like, he has a solid team for playing around with 11th, 12th spot the whole season. His team's pretty good. His quarterback position is shaky, obviously, but the rest of his team is not terrible. So I'm going to go with Kango. Tyler, I'll let you go next. Who you got in this matchup, Enly or Kango?
I got Enly in this one. I actually want to give him a little shout-out because I think he's had the worst luck in the league so far. He's got the most points against him.
Mm-hmm.
He's had some really bad luck. And I think Kango's got some key players on bye this week. So I got Enly in this matchup.
Yeah, the league been giving it to Enly. 897. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yo. Bro, that's bad.
That's bad. No, I didn't even see that. That's crazy. All right. Jordan, who you got in this matchup?
Yo, I truly don't know, man. I'm a little bit split because I think both of them have some guys that are hitters and they're both missing some key pieces. But I think I'm going to give the edge to Kango because I think the likes of Kamara, I think Kamara has a big game against Jacksonville tomorrow night. Cup, he's still got Cup in there. Cup is able to have a big game at any point. I think, then I just look back at Enly's roster. Ugh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm gonna stay with Kango.
All right. Sid, who you got in this one, Kango or Enly? for the final matchup.
I can go easily, bro. Only because my boy Endley finds a way. Like, it's like a like the bunny in the hat like trick. Like, he, no matter what, he leaves. The last 2 weeks, he left enough points to win both games on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And this week, this man done picked up Odell Beckham, put him in his lineup over George Kittle, who's going against the Vikings on a Monday night.
Wait, seriously? I did not even notice that.
Yeah, you got Kittle the bottom.
Why does he hate Kittle?
I know. He won't give him to me.
Kittle had a bad game versus the best defense in the NFL. Now he's going against the worst defense in the NFL on a Monday night. Coming off of an L. And this man is sitting on the bench.
Bro, I look at Kittle's points, and every single time he benches him, he goes crazy. And every time he starts him, he went 7.5, then he went 19.5. That was when he was on his bench. Then he went 2.4. He started him. Then he went 29.20. He was on his bench. Then he starts him again last week, and he goes for 1 point.
Yo, Kittle got the worst. He might be the worst fantasy tight end star of all time. Like,
yeah,
he is completely inconsistent, bro. Like, he's the definition of boom or bust. That used to be Tyreek Hill. Now Tyreek just goes off every week. I think that's now Kittle's.
Bro, I'll never own Kittle because I just don't need that type of stress.
Yeah, it's insane. He's tight end 8 overall and has had 2 weeks under 3 points.
No.
What has
I think nobody Odell wants to done? Own him. Oh, my bad. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, you're good, bro. I was just saying, like, what has Odell Beckham done to be like, yo, I gotta get this guy. Like, this is a must win for me. I'm on a 4-game losing streak. I'm putting my chips on Odell Beckham.
he must know something we don't know.
I guess, man.
That's crazy. So
Endley, start Kittle. Endley, start Kittle, please.
Please, Endley. If you start Kittle, I'll change to Endley.
If you're listening, tomorrow morning or before Sunday or Monday, please just put Kittle on my
list. Yeah, you got time. He's got time to make the decision.
cut Odell. And put,
I can't wait.
Or just bench him. You don't even got to cut him.
No.
Nah, he got to cut him, bro.
On all fantasy platforms.
Why are we rostering Odell Beckham Jr. in 2023, bro?
Bro, Kittle got to start.
He gets hurt every game. Kittle has to start, bro.
He has wide to start. Receiver,
He's wide receiver 97.
That's insane.
We're not going to say in the chat, but just Endley, you got to listen to the podcast and you have to start Kittle. This is your only warning. If you don't start Kittle, I guarantee you he's scoring 30 on Minnesota.
Dude, Odell doesn't even have 20 points on the season yet.
Yo.
That's crazy. Yeah, get him out of here, bro.
He gotta go.
Wow. All right, well.
Maybe he's trying to... Maybe the Haitians are working together in some weird plan.
Or just working too much, bro. Like, y'all gotta pick your team. It's week 7, my boy. What y'all doing?
My boy's on a 4-game losing streak.
Like, they get breaks, right? They get breaks at work.
You would think.
Like, make some changes then. I don't know.
You never know, because every time I hit him up, I'll be like, yo, I'm gonna call you after this meeting. I'm like, bro, how many meetings y'all got? Just give them the keys and tell them to sign the papers. Like,
you need to have a meeting with your fantasy team.
Yeah, for real.
You need to rally the troops.
Back room your teams real quick and just kind of sit them down and say, listen, let me open some scriptures for y'all and let's get this ball rolling. So clean sweep. Right? Everybody picked Kango?
Yeah, nah, okay. I picked Endley. I'm rocking my boy.
You picked Endley. All right. So we got
Star Kittle, please.
We got one for Endley this week. So also, unfortunately, I'm praying on Endley to lose again because I need it personally. But
no, don't worry, bro. You answered. Once Odell's do something, those are your two.
Yo, so we'll see what happens. But we're almost halfway through the regular season. Week 7 will be the halfway mark for us, and then we can get into the second half of the regular. And we got some good matchups, some real good matchups actually this week. So to wrap it up, Ty, we thank you for hopping on the podcast as the number one team and being our third interview of the season. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. And and thank you to our regulars, Jordan and Sid, for hopping on. And we will see you guys for the week seven interview, the awards, and the matchup recaps, and to cover week eight. But until then, this has been the Beacon League Podcast, and we'll see y'all in the next one.
Peace.